How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, somebody's getting married, poodle.
I'll only get married if we're a corporate sponsorship by Amazon Wedding Registry.
Y'all, it's a golden wedding, and this is Reality Gays, and we have special guests today. This is a surprise for all of you. It's a surprise that there was some surprises too, and I'm glad there was a lot of kind of past ghost of Bachelor and Bachelorette past that came out, and Poodle or not, and I
what
are not.
Rocks, did these fuckers crawl out of?
We're not well versed in that. Who else to help guide us through this hot garbage wedding mess? The Game of Roses, Chad and Lizzie. Thank you for being
Hello.
Here today.
It's
thanks for
our
having
absolute
us.
Pleasure.
The day after the royal wedding, I'm still glowing.
Are y'all exhausted? Do you feel like you just had like a 10-hour sex tantric session and now you're just bent?
Yes.
It's
yes,
exactly like that. It feels very much like the 10-hour tantric sessions that I've had in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just feels like I've taken a really big like bowel movement.
Yes.
Now it's... Wow. No, it did feel twice. Like a fever dream for me as a hardcore Bachelor fan. Loved it. It was stunning. You may not have recognized the characters in the background, but there was a lot of attention to legacy, the Bachelor franchise, which I love.
Someone else, I want you to speak to that later, because someone else was talking about that in like a group chat I had this morning, mm-hmm. that they're like a Bachelor super fan, and they were seeing people who hadn't seen it in a while. Like when they brought up like Jason and what's her name? Molly. Because they had a Bachelor wedding.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then Tristan Ryan. And mm-hmm. yeah,
they had the most famous one. The Tristan Ryan one, they paid them $1 million for that.
And now
I don't think Gary and Teresa got a dime. I think they got all their cakes paid for and all that shit, but they weren't getting any money off this.
Even Neil Lane
think they got
was
100K?
Like,
yeah. Neil Lane, by the way, looking surprisingly rejuvenated.
A little surprised. He's a little surprised.
A little surprise. Yeah. It's kind of why Jake and I won't. Like, if there's a Golden Bachelorette, well, we probably will do that. But it's why we won't jump into Bachelor fully, because we do not have the time to cover 20 years of herstory. And that is that. So, which y'all just had a huge interview on your show.
Yes, we did.
Yes. We got who I believe to be the greatest Bachelor player of all time, Caitlin Bristow, on our podcast this week.
Oh.
Might have seen her dancing in a green dress in some of the back background shots.
Literally chewing scenery.
just ramming whatever she was eating into her mouth as hard as she could. But I will say, in terms of like how they handled the legacy players being there, usually they will just like crowbar that shit into like a tell all or a mm-hmm. after the final rose. And they're like, look, Bachelor Royalty, and they'll name the people. They did none of that here.
I noticed that.
Which none I loved. Yeah. I loved. It was like for the fans. If you know who that is walking
for
in the
background. The real ones.
Yeah, exactly. If you know that that's Jared Iaconetti roaming around back there, then good for you. If you don't, so be it. I loved that.
Is there?
I have now, a question. Oh, yeah, did either of you cry watching this at all?
I did not because I'm not a Teresa fan. So
shit.
I just you know what I did? I did get moved by his daughter's speeches. I thought those were super moving.
I did too.
The daughters were incredible.
Yeah, I started to get teary.
Just didn't like the bridesmaids' dresses, but we'll talk about that later.
I started to get teary, and then I started remembering Jake's impersonation of Gary, and it made my stomach turn. I mean, it took me out of the moment. Oh,
Teresa, yeah. I promise to check your 401k as often as I can. Oh, Teresa. Please don't make me sign a prenup, Teresa.
Were you guys covering that at all? Were you following that drama of how supposedly leading into this, they were fighting all the time?
They were fighting because
they were fighting.
Wait, what? Supposedly, I haven't heard this.
They were arguing about it. It was reported and like Starcasm, America's most trusted news source,
true,
or something like that.
Yeah,
true. But no, it was like in or In Touch or something.
Yes.
Or something where they'd been fighting, but that Teresa wanted to get a prenup, and Gary did not want to sign one. Obviously,
exactly. Yeah. I think he did.
Is Gary and Black Widow?
I think Gary will sign it and will just do whatever she says for the rest of her life. Happy wife, happy Gary.
I agree.
They didn't give the vibe that they had been fighting, but what do I know?
Now I want to. Before we jump in, I'm trying to help you pimp your shit for our sissies that are Bachelor's fan. Is there anything from the Caitlyn interview, like a little tidbit? Do you feel like people are really going to want to listen to?
We talked about so much. I mean, we talked about with her which producers or kind of like how she felt about the producers after her season.
Oh, that is inside baseball.
Yeah, I love it. Are they your friends? Do you hate them? And she gave a very interesting answer about that, kind of relating to like, oh, some producers you can be friends with and some, I think she put it like this, there's a special place in hell for them. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
So we get into some of the tea about kind of like what it is like to be a lead, especially in that era, which was like, in our opinion, kind of the height of the show. And what it's like, you know, for the rest of your life coming out of that, knowing that you're always going to be attached to this show and it's always going to be attached to you for the rest of your life. Literally.
She's definitely kind of royalty in that way because she's so vocal about she's been back and forth with the show and like had a kind of a love hate with the show for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't she on F-Boy Island? Didn't she like guest or something like that?
I think she was a guest on season two or was it three when they went to CW
she's been a guest.
Katie Thurston was one of the leads.
Like Caitlin was on another reality show as like a consultant.
Well, I know they brought her back in Bachelor a bunch. I mean, she was a co-host of two of the Bachelorette seasons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She was on Listen to Your Heart with her then fiance Jason Tardik as a special guest host.
We watched that. We watched that hot garbage.
So
one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, troubled. It was trouble from the beginning. And I think it was a thing that they
shot. I don't think we're going to see it come back.
Yeah. There was a couple of shows like that happened during the pandemic when TV production was down and these networks were like, well, shit, we can't shoot shows. What do we do? We're going to have to put Listen to Your Heart on the air. Okay, great. Fox had one called Labor of Love. That was a reality show.
We covered the entire show.
As did we. And so the story behind that was it was scrapped. They had it shot and Fox was like, we can't air this. It's terrible. Then the pandemic happened and they were like, well, shit, we have to air something.
Oh.
Put it out.
Meet Christy.
Meet Christy.
You don't want to. And then
turns out she's vile. How did you feel about when they measured how fast everyone's sperm was and made them jerk off in bathrooms?
That's the only part I liked.
You know,
that felt like a Saturday night. That's me. I always have a stop like, hurry up, hurry up. Golden Girls is coming on, you faggot. Come.
It was. That show was that show. We actually recorded a theme song, and it was the only bright spot of that whole thing.
It was Celine Dion's "Labor of Power of Love."
Oh, nice.
Poodle rewrote "Labor of Love." "Labor of Love."
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I think I sang like a high C in that song.
Well, you guys
lost your minds in the pandemic also.
Oh, it feels like an imaginary time now. Like I'm
know.
Like, we covered that. Holy fuck. Bachelor, listen to your heart. That was real.
That was the first show. Like by like episode 6, we would get on the mic and we would actually start the show with an apology.
I hate this.
We're like, we are so sorry. We felt so bad.
But what that show could have been, like the idea of, people in a dating competition show that also want to have professional music careers and have some talent, varying degrees of it, but whatever. That basic premise is great. If they just would have had the format done differently, I think that show could have been a massive hit. But instead it was just like poorly handled. The concept behind it was bad. I think the producing was bad. It just was like troubled from the very beginning.
And remember the like long-haired blonde woman who just switched around different guys and she would look at them and sing with them like she was like fucking them when she was singing.
Was that Natasha Bessas?
Oh yeah, Natasha. She was
so good. But oh god, that was a weird time.
It was a really weird time.
It was.
She made a music video with Mike Johnson.
Of course.
Yeah, I remember that shit. But I think Bachelor's in a much better place now. They've done some bad experiments, but I think Golden has like really paid off for them.
Oh, they're all in for it.
And I think this finale was a success. I think the
absolutely.
I think it was a success. And I think this, to me, I think the star of the finale is Kathy. To me, she was such a great co-host in this episode, and I thought she was wonderful.
How many double espressos
she was good.
Did she
I would
have?
Say Charity was amazing.
Charity was great too.
Charity was good at calming Kathy down.
I kind of like the pair.
Y'all, you looked at Charity and her, like, every time she would look over at Kathy, she was like, bitch, what are you on?
It was kind of like people want Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen to get drunk and they can't really that much at New Year's Eve. And it was like, we got that vibe from this. At one point, Kathy just like they were talking and there was a little bit of second pause and Kathy's like, well, I don't know. And just
she had kind of a fucking attitude. I agree. I think she popped off as a star. I think Charity solidified herself as somebody who can do on camera work in this manner. Mm-hmm. Like I could easily see her matriculating to an extra and being on an on camera interview or something like this.
Totally.
Kind of following in the footsteps of a Rachel Lindsay. I thought really everybody did a pretty fantastic job. And even the just the production
Jesse
of
Palmer.
It. Yeah, Jesse
Incredible
Palmer.
Job.
I do think that he did good. I will admit this.
I might have to leave some because I'm going to use that excuse when I'm at a party.
Yet?
I'm like, I may have to leave because my wife is expecting our next baby. And so if I leave this party, it's not because I don't like anybody here. It's that my wife is about to give birth.
I don't think she said giving birth yet.
It doesn't say anything online yet.
But
about
he's
it,
a benevolent so. King, so he's got to, do what he can for Bachelor Nation.
But I thought, too, even the little packages that they put together they were throwing to, most of those were done really well. They had some that were like maybe a little cringy here or there. The thing where they made, Teresa and all the Amazon shit, of course. But whatever. It's product placement. If you're going to have something on TV, it's going to have some element of that in there. Why not?
Because it is product placement. But I thought grown ass adults do not need to register for a wedding.
Okay.
Have you looked at the registry?
Oh, what is it?
Can we buy gifts for them?
Yeah. You can buy them a Hamilton Beach 727B Drink Master for $42.90. You can buy them a Smeg Retro Style Coffee Maker for $229.95. You can buy them a Dash Hot Air Popcorn Popper for $21.99. So on and so forth. There's probably 50 to, no, there's more than that. There's probably 75 products on here that can buy them.
Bissell, the first time I cried was when they asked Susan to officiate.
That was sweet.
I
will say,
and I cried at Teresa's daughter talking about their dad.
Yeah, that was that to me, that was the heart of it. I'm going to say, I'm going to sound like a real like pill here. This wedding was cold and corporate and awful.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And I'm going to preface this for Poodle.
Yeah.
Poodle has played music and probably been
To a lot of weddings.
I bet you probably 200 to 300 weddings.
Mm-hmm. Wait, playing music?
As a musician, yeah. I'm a pianist, singer, yeah.
And honey, we're professional homosexuals. Yeah. Professional dick lickers.
Will you play at my wedding? Yes,
of course. For $1,100.
What did you then think of Dan Finnerty being the wedding band that they had?
Holy shit. Okay, don't you just put your balls right in our face and say, I'm going to sing a Journey song if you can't sing it well.
Right. Are you not a fan of Dan Finnerty?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
In the very end, Dan Finnerty is he's Kathy and Jimmy's husband.
Oh!
And he has played the wedding singer and the wedding band in I don't know how many movies at this point. He was the wedding band in The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
If you remember that old Adam Sandler movie.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. And he was think, Step Brothers. He's basically an actor. He's been in a bunch of different movies. He was just in some crappy rom-com, the Body Switch rom-com on Netflix with Ed Helms and Jennifer Garner.
So now I enjoy it. Now that I know it's tongue-in-cheek.
This is definitely a straight man fact that I would never know. But I will say,
ironically enough, Kathy and Jimmy's a gay icon. So
it is.
Exactly.
I'm going to say this. If you choose a Journey song, you better have the range. You better have the range. And it was just, I'm going to say this, just a couple other technical things. Okay. Because
it was Bachelor. I kind of wanted fucking Journey to be there.
Yeah. Well, Steve Perry doesn't talk to the rest
of
the band.
They had the guy, they got the singer, the guy who's from the Philippines who sounds just like him. Yeah.
They could have gotten them. They're playing a state fair somewhere.
The last time they did this was On the Wings of Love. What season was that? Do you remember this,
Pavelka.
Lizzie?
Jake
Pavelka.
Oh my God. And we know how that turned out.
And they
did you guys watch that breakup special?
They got the actual band to show up.
I will never forget how he talked to her.
Yeah.
It was one of the most
terrifying,
blood-chilling things I've ever seen on television.
Yeah.
And he did it in front of people.
And she immediately breaks down sobbing. As soon as he's like, will you let me finish? Stop interrupting. Immediately breaks down sobbing and storms off the set.
To
me, there is like, at least in the Bachelor franchise, there are very few moments that feel completely real. That one did.
Yeah.
Everyone watched it going, and like, no one really, really loved Vienna anyway. Like, but
she had a villain edit.
Exactly. And but she came across as like the wronged woman and like the abused wife because he was such a monster.
Yeah. And but some
so
of that
you
too
have a rich
like,
bachelor history secretly.
I know a lot more than I admit. But I loved
who did, did Byron Velvet beat out to be the Bachelor of season 6?
Byron
in episode 1.
Wow.
Jay Overby.
We know this.
the Silver Fox.
I want to just say a couple of like the technical things.
Yeah.
The string section was way out of tune.
Oh god.
Like it was bad. Mm. It was
shots fired.
I'm gonna also say, and this is gonna ruffle some feathers. Unless you're having a Catholic nuptial mass, you do not need Ave Maria at your wedding.
Oh,
it is a very religious song, and I know agree. It's played at a lot of weddings.
I've seen it at many Catholic weddings.
If you're having a religious wedding, mm-hmm. I don't think Ave Maria needs to be there. Because it's at funerals, it's at weddings, it's a lot of things. It's anything involving the sacrament of the Blessed Mother and all that stuff. It doesn't belong at a non-religious wedding. I just
he didn't bring
think
up God in his vows.
That is true.
Even though it was a godless season. Yeah.
But even though it was a godless season,
notably,
and what I did notice is they I liked her her entrance music, which is the Locke Mayflower duet from and like the opera.
Jake and I have sang that.
We've sung that at pitch.
Yes, and women's voices.
And which was kind of nice.
I enjoyed that.
They
should
get
you guys for the Golden Bachelorette wedding.
Yeah. Oh, we would be perfect.
Oh, yes.
Can we talk about things, the white elephant in the room? What'd you guys think of the dress?
Which dress? Her dress? Or are you talking about the bridesmaids' ones?
Teresa? Oh,
let's talk about Teresa's dress.
Okay.
Let's talk about...
I'll say this. Just as a baseline, I don't know anything about fashion. Literally nothing. All wedding dresses look the same
every
to me.
Day.
I do. I have a little uniform that I wear every day. All wedding dresses pretty much look the same to me. I thought she looked great in it. Am I crazy? Am I crazy?
It would be better if she could walk better.
I think so I'm a little torn because Teresa kind of her figure. She has kind of a boxy figure. She does not have curves
She's small.
She's very petite. But so I actually like the mermaid dress because that's what this, Chad, that's what this was. You don't know that because you don't suck dick. So this is a mermaid dress. And what a mermaid dress does, it gives a figure to someone who doesn't have it.
But not
like Whitney
Houston
looked good in mermaid
because she was kind of down the aisle.
But she needed to be able to walk a little bit. But I didn't mind that because I thought it looked really pretty. I liked the cut at the top. I loved the first dress, actually, that she tried on more than the
dress
second.
She wore
the first dress, the first
the
dress was much better. The first
was
dress
was a different dress. I didn't even notice.
Wow.
I started recording a video of it because I was like, oh, she was banging.
Why don't you just go listen to your Dan Fogarty?
Exactly. Dan
I love this.
Finnerty was the guy. Fogarty's actually good. No offense to Finnerty.
What about the florals? Beautiful.
The flowers were gorgeous.
The flowers were beautiful. The bridesmaids, they looked when the daughters were standing to be interviewed, they looked like the two eels from Little Mermaid that are Circle Ursula.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
Flotsam and Jetsam, yes.
Yeah. Like I was saying earlier, I got no idea about fashion. And I could tell those dresses were terrible. As soon as they hit the screen, I was like, Jesus Christ, what are you wearing?
Here's the problem. A dress like that is made to give some texture to a very thin person. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a very thin kind of hourglass body, you're going to look like a linebacker in it.
Interesting.
And also, I just got to say the taste level of the dress, whether it's a fit of it or not, just no one – that's not in style, those ruffles. What did you think? We're going on. You're a woman who wears dresses.
I mean – those dresses were awful. I loved what Natasha was wearing.
Oh, I love that.
The maroon kind of velvety thing. I loved what Tayshia was wearing. I don't know
she
if you saw
good.
Her.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. She was there. And Katie Bigger, honestly, with the brown hair, the black simple tube top dress. I liked that.
I didn't see her.
Now, I do think someone who looked, let's talk about the Bachelorette. Like we'll start, we're actually kind of going through in the order now, actually, which is good because they start having these, you know, Kathy already talked to Jenny and Angie in their terrible dresses. And then she's talking to other, and she actually ends up, can we talk about Leslie looked banging in that black dress?
Oh, that
what
was
a
Golden Bachelorette dress.
Yeah. I really thought they were going to reveal that she was the Golden Bachelorette at this event, but I guess they didn't want to upstage or whatever. I mean, she is the Golden Bachelorette. Let's make that announcement here.
Has to be.
I'm saying it's happening. There's no way anything
after they
else
kept
is possible.
Cutting to her during the ceremony. I don't think there's any doubt.
I agree. 100%.
Oh, they did.
They interviewed her by herself versus how they did Joan with Ellen and Sandra, you know, more.
They were
group
telegraphing
interviews.
It. I think after the special, we didn't think she would do it because she was completely devastated and humiliated on national television. So we didn't think she would do it.
Was she?
We thought it would have been Joan or Faith.
Yeah.
We thought Joan Vazos also, but then after the performance that FEMA put in the finals there, it's like, there's no question. She's absolutely going to be the next Golden Bachelor or Golden Bachelorette. This is basically the production cycle for 2024, in my opinion, based on, we'll just say, certain information. They are rolling out Joey Graziadei's Bachelor 28 on January 22nd. Immediately after that, they're going to begin production on Bachelorette 21. Immediately after that, they begin production on Golden Bachelorette. Immediately after that, Golden Bachelor Paradise is canceled. This is your Bachelor season for 2024.
No more Bachelor in Paradise? I don't think so.
No. I think the producers killed it. I think they destroyed it in season 9. The ratings were so bad on that show. They were bleeding off. Golden Bachelor had the biggest ratings of any show on network television during its run. That was the lead-in to Bachelor in Paradise season 9. They hemorrhaged over half their fucking viewers in the 1 minute it took to go from Golden Bachelor to Bachelor in Paradise season 9 on the same channel.
Way to go, Aven. Way to go.
It was so much worse than that.
Yeah, because I wanted to check in with you on your boy. After the events that unfolded.
It's all Aven's fault. He destroyed Paradise. That's why they canceled it.
That picker that picker could not get any worse.
You know what I did? You know, because we messaged or whatever we before, and he actually, there was like something, and I retweeted something. Well, someone retweeted something I said. I think it was from, we had a clip of when I was talking about him. And so I think I told y'all he responded to that to me on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
He actually
responded. So you're saying there's a chance.
Maybe now you have a chance because he's completely fallen from grace.
Well, actually, I sent him a message, and I actually did say.
Wow.
You'll be his redemption story.
Maybe. Yeah, you're going to suck a dick now, Aven. Or actually, I would. But he could just lay there. I'd wear a wig. But anyway.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's pretty much. It's better than the guy I made out with in Vienna. Well, so anyway, but I did message him and I said, well, you know, at least you apologize. I used to be a therapist. If you need to find a therapist, let me know, but you need to go to therapy. And he hearted it.
Wow.
I told him, like, go to fucking therapy. And I said, figure your shit out.
You know, if he would have actually responded, you'd be like, oh, my God, let's meet up and I can help you out with everything.
I would say, let's have therapy, even though I'm not licensed nor practicing anymore.
Let's have therapy.
I'd be back in the game.
Without clothes.
You can just lay there.
He's like, why is Barbara Streisand playing during our... Aven, I have my process.
This is kind of, we're moving on through this, but what did you guys think when I wrote down when the families met, when Indiana met Connecticut? And all I could think of is they're like, don't you love our nice Midwestern Christmas traditions? And the Connecticut people were like, can we just order pizza? How long do I have to chew this cinnamon ball?
See, I didn't think the cinnamon ball. I thought the cinnamon ball was sweet.
So nice.
One part I actually teared up.
No, I just looked at them going, oh my God, how long do I have to eat this? And then the dog was like, perfect for me.
Yeah, exactly. It's dog food. I mean, they have to do whatever they have to do to promote certain kind of bachelor-esque ideals. This marriage is perfect. Everyone in each family loves each other and all of their traditions. And that's how it is. Nobody here has any ill intent or thinks this is dumb in any way. But I thought it was produced well, you know? That basically is like what I'm watching all this shit for. I know most of it is a lie, always. But the production of
I thought
was well done, you know?
My bystanders of the week were the Chippendales dancers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those guys were hot.
Shylon fucking, they had him at the wedding wearing nothing, wearing a suit jacket and no clothes underneath. I was like, that's a fucking bold choice.
And the fact that they had
Sandra brought him
there. Yeah. Like, I appreciate they're leaning into they're leaning into Sandra being a horny old woman and like just fucking. And I gotta say, I love the boudoir shoot.
Yeah. I did not. I had mixed feelings about it.
I do because women of this age don't see themselves as sexual and don't see themselves as desirable.
I totally think yes to all that.
Susan looked amazing.
They looked amazing.
I don't think this was the time.
I agree.
It was in a wedding. I don't think it just didn't gel with the flow of the
Totally agree.
It wasn't something I ever read in the King James book. It seemed a little out of character for me, Janelle.
No, but it was like that's something that you would do on a group date in the main show.
That's true.
To have it in the Golden Wedding was like it was a little bizarre. But I did appreciate that they were including all of our favorite players from the Golden season in this wedding in various ways.
It was putting together really smart,
that little group of them.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too.
songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners, we know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens!
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Having Susan be the officiant, like, I thought that they did
Susan
a
was incredible.
I wanted
also,
more April.
Speaking of best dress, loved Michelle Young's outfit. I don't know yeah. if you guys saw
I
her in the background,
her.
But she had
she
like a big
there.
Fur jacket on over her dress. And then Susan in their, I don't know, Instagram was hitting on her, man. It was great.
Yeah.
What did you guys, when I think it was later on, I think it was Kathy was talking to Faith and I don't know if they had asked her, they had fed her questions, or maybe she's just doing this. Faith, would you leave your dead horse for any of these men tonight?
I appreciated that question.
I laughed yeah. so hard.
It was great. Kathy is funny as fuck. Period. Like, I yeah. mean, most of these women were. Most
who
of them were actually
dead horse for?
Mm-hmm. And funny.
Even Teresa. But,
yeah, even Teresa.
Even Teresa had a couple of moments. I will say, it's not that I actively dislike her. I just think she was the most boring and safe choice. Mm. But she did have a lovely bank account. And yeah. like I said, after she sold out that GameStop stock.
You think she got rich off GameStop?
Yes. She's the original investor. In my story.
Yes.
That's how
you know, there's a lot of conjecture about why he picked her over FEMA. And I think, like, yes, you're right. On the surface, it looks very much like, oh, as soon as she's like, oh, yeah, I do investments and I work at an investment firm. And he's like, oh, tell me more.
A job.
But that said, we still don't know what happened in the fantasy suites, and we never probably will. And at least with players that I coach, I always say once you get to the fantasy suite, you have two paths. You are now in contention for a ring, like marrying this person or at least being engaged to them, whatever. You can win it that way. Or if you want, there is the bachelorette path. And to do that, what I always tell the players is like, you could do whatever you want in the fantasy suites. You don't have to have sex. You could literally do anything. But there is a strategy that is, if you want the ring, you do everything you've never done. You have the craziest, best sex you've ever had in your life. Nothing is off the table. You do it all and you blow this fucking guy's mind. If you want the crown, the exact opposite. You have the worst sex you've ever had in your life. You put in no effort. You do nothing. You make it terrible so that the next morning he's going to dump you and you go out in third place and you get to have a massive heartbreak at it. I mean, Nick Viall said it best. How could you make love with me if you weren't in love with me? You give yourself an ultimate victim edit. Maybe that's what FEMA did, and maybe that's what Teresa did. I don't know.
You think FEMA utilized the bad sex strategy?
Yes, and I think Teresa might have utilized the good sex strategy.
I am aghast, and I need to take notes from you and take classes from you, Chad.
Yeah, I mean, this works in real life, too, by the way.
This works in real life,
no,
too.
It doesn't for Poodle, because Poodle can't ever, if it's a troll, he always plays to win when it comes to stay.
I play every inning, Chad.
He can't phone it in because he's too worried about his reputation.
Interesting.
I can't have a bad Yelp review. With that, right. I just can't.
Bad Yelp, meaning that bathroom stall that gives him sure. four dicks.
Right. Yeah. Well, the good thing about The Bachelor is that information is, it will never be revealed in a public way. So you can have the bad sex and then you get dumped the next day and you get to be like, but I gave my whole self to you. I can't believe this is how you're treating me. And we'll never know it's because you were doing the bad sex strategy. But in real life, you're right. You might, the word might get around. Who knows?
Also, we have literally no idea what their relationship is like because they try to make the edit look like they're even in the finals. I would be curious, what did you guys think about the Joey Grazia Day trailer? Was it sizzling? Are we excited? Are you going to watch?
No. I'm going to watch the first two episodes like I always do of every single season because then the cuckoo birds, I'll see them get kicked out.
I think Joey,
I think I would completely break Joey.
There is like it's hard one night. He looks like he's 17 years old to me. I just feel old watching him because he looks so young, and I think that's why I can't watch it because of my ego.
I also think it's going to be interesting watching him because he's Boy Scout, everyone's friend, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough watching him. I think he'll be accused of being fake and being duplicitous to a lot of the women by telling them things.
Hmm. Not the real Joey.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that's
genuine Joey. That'll be his branding.
Yep. Yeah, and so and it's hard because when in a show like this, you do have to tell everyone kind of a different thing, and it's impossible not to.
Yeah, I mean, the job of the lead in all Bachelor seasons is night one, they pick their top three. In some cases, they pick the person who's going to win the ring, and that doesn't change. So then the job of the lead is to work with producers to find ways to kick people off the show. You have to get rid of about 30 people every season and not make yourself look like an asshole.
Exactly.
So you're just waiting for any of these players to make a mistake in the game, to have a for the wrong reasons accusation, to get tattled on, to tattle on somebody, to start a beef with somebody else, any of these things. And they always happen every season. So I think really the job of the lead and to be a good lead is you just don't ever make a mistake in that pick, in who you're kicking off, in what order, and for what reason. And I think Grazia Day is actually going to be very good at it based on his play in Charity Lawson season. I think he understands the game very well, and I don't think he's going to get dirt on him at all unless it comes in the very final episodes where he's in love with multiple people, which they seem to be able to manufacture that every season now.
I think he's got that. I think he has that magic ability to be in love with that many and to kind of hold that in his heart.
Did you like the trailer?
Oh, I love what they're doing with the trailers. Me too. We've been promoting the idea that like they've been shitting on their leads. They shit on Clayton, they shit on Zach. They need to make that person seem like the sexiest, best catch in the country. Like, that's theoretically what the show is supposed to be about.
Why wouldn't they
do that? And I
think
they're going towards that.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't
How
they?
How long have you got? Let me open my dissertation.
Because
it all began in 2014. We're talking about Bachelor Season 18, Juan Pablo Galvez, the first villain Bachelor. When they started to produce that season and edit it to make him a villain, they got a fucking taste of blood in their mouth, the producers I'm talking about. And every season after that, they started shitting on their leads. The next season was Chris Soules, Prince Farmington. They made him a fool immediately. Then you had Ben Higgins, season 20, unlovable. Whoa. Season 21, Nick Viall, villain bachelor.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. All the way up through season 23, you had Colton Underwood, who they painted as a guy who wanted to escape the show. Season 24, Pilot Pete, they wrecked that fucking guy top to bottom. Matt James, the first Black Bachelor. We all know how that season ended. Not good. All the way up through Clayton Eckerd, where they had literally an army of children singing Clayton Sucks in a limo exit on the season after that. And I think now they've course corrected. I think they understand that shitting on the players and having like a bad attitude presented from the producer's perspective, which bleeds through everything they do, having that animosity towards their leads doesn't work. It's tanked the show in many ways. And I think that's why Bachelor in Paradise ultimately is going to be canceled, because this last season was, in my opinion, the kind of crowning jewel in terms of representing the contempt that producers have for players.
That is fascinating. It is. I think you could.
Whoa.
I know, doggy. But I think it's really interesting if you apply that to 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
Where you have certain people who you are rooting for.
Yeah.
Who fight to fall in love, certain couples. And you have certain couples you just love to hate.
Absolutely.
And chaos. Danielle and Muhammad.
Exactly. And so what you have is you have this in for 90 Day Fiancé, there's this cross section, and you have to have enough real people within a season to make it viable. And the 90 Day Fiancé season, I believe it was season 9, the season before this, had very few viable, really heartfelt relationships. And it was the worst season ever.
Yeah. And you can tell in 90 Day, like the moments in 90 Day, I'm relatively new to it, but getting very deep in it very quickly. The moments that really stick out is like insanely produced and like should not be in there are moments when they have like a third person come in. Like when I forget their names, the British girl and the guy in LA who lives in a bathroomless.
Robin Sophie.
Yes, Robin Sophie.
When they go to the sex store and there's somebody in the sex store that's like, hey, want to have a threesome?
Want to be like, my
what
third?
The fuck is going on?
No, thank.
It was
their,
a scripted
their storyline is
scene.
So fraudacity.
It's, yes,
it's awful.
Absolutely. And I think like Bachelor tries to do a good job of having a lot of that kind of stuff in there, but limiting it to the believability factor, I suppose. And I think it works better in Bachelor because these people aren't in the real world. They're in a confined, weird environment, this game that the producers have made.
Yeah.
So anything that seems overly produced is just kind of a part of the concept. But in 90 Day, those moments are like, I need to find a friend. I forget their names. It was the blonde woman from LA who went to, I believe, Morocco with the guy who was like hardcore Muslim and wanted her to change her outfits all the time and all that.
Oh,
and
oh yes, up, Nicole.
Yes, Nicole.
Nicole and Mahmoud.
Mahmoud, yes. Yes. Mahmoud.
My love.
We call him Miss Mood.
With his licorice wrists.
Yes.
Because he would basically
wait,
be
isn't
voguing.
Isn't Nicole the one with the kid?
No, Nicole.
No,
Nicole
this was
is
last
the one.
Season, which they're Nicole in LA. He's in LA now.
Nicole is the one with
they moved
the bob.
Here now. But yeah, there was something where she was like, I don't have any friends. And so she went to like a yoga class or something. And then all of a sudden the yoga instructor is now her best friend and they're having lunch together. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
That is a 90 Day trope. Welcome.
It is. And part of that is the audiences are a little different for Bachelor and 90 Day. And so the audiences, part of the audience for 90 Day like laughs and knows how to play along with that
for sure.
And then some of the audience just takes it at face value. And then there's like about 20% of it that hate that. So, but they keep watching it because they hate watch it. It's fascinating.
Bachelor is very similar to that. There are people who watch that show and believe everything they're seeing is 100% fucking real. Then there's some part of the audience that's like, I know some of this is fake, but sometimes they really do wind up in relationships. Then there's people like Lizzie and I who are just fucking analyzing every frame of everything.
I'm more optimistic,
like, how do I get data?
Than Chad, I would say. I tend to believe there's more real relationships and get tricked more.
Yeah. Are you optimistic about our new engagement of Brayden and Christina Mandrell?
Oh, our new royal family? Of course. I'm optimistic. I
Arlene's
love
daughter.
This dynamic duo.
This was so fucking tasteless.
They just share
play of the game. Play of the game.
This was my favorite thing of the night.
I thought it was genius.
Yes, it was.
As far as like wanting to, because coming off of that shitty season, what is a way to like make yourself look better? And like,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I mean, I thought it was what am I trying to think of? It reminded me of like in the movie. This is so gay, and only Jake's going to get this. It reminded me in the movie Chicago when Roxy Hart says that she's pregnant with a child and then faints to get the spotlight back on her.
Yeah, that
Chad, should mean nothing to you.
I've seen that movie. I saw Chicago when it came out.
Okay. I'm going to say I thought it was I'm glad that Clayton said he had asked. He had asked Gary and
Brayden.
So did I say Jaden?
Clayton. Clayton.
Are you drunk? Where are you? Are these guys drunk?
No, y'all. These are all in the same genus of Clayton, yeah. Brayden, Clayton,
Jackson, Braxton,
Clayton, Colton, Braxton. Yeah,
they're all the same name.
Weston.
They had separate wedding. They had a private, like, friends and family wedding, yeah, that wasn't televised.
I'll tell you this.
At the bachelor event.
Yeah. As I've said, I coach players to infiltrate this game with varying degrees of success. Maybe that would actually entice you to watch Gracia Day's season. See if you can detect who might have been coached or not.
I think you coach Brayden, but won't tell me.
I can't. Look, all I'll say is this, okay? I'll say this about Christina Mandrell, the woman that Brayden proposed to. She was a superstar reality TV talent who got completely fucking...
Well, he's married
fucking...
to reality family royalty. Don't give me
exactly,
started.
Yes, Mandrell's. Exactly. And she was cast specifically to be the next Bachelorette. Mm. A lot of things happened in the Bachelor franchise over the course of her rookie season that took Mike Fleiss, the creator of the show, away from the show completely. He basically got removed from his own project, among other things. But there was like a big kind of like shakeup in the producer tier and the executive tier at ABC and Warner Brothers and all of this. As a result, that plan kind of like fell by the wayside, and she really just got removed from this entire process. She got kicked out of
Fleiss
her season early.
Fleiss wanted Christina Mandrell, not Charity.
And ultimately, you know, she didn't even get a Paradise invite, which was, in my opinion, a huge mistake. And you look back at it now, the only thing that happened of interest in Bachelor in Paradise season 9 was that Brayden started dating Christina Mandrell after the season. You know, that's the most successful couple that came from it. And so they have to promote them. The show allowed that to happen because they have to promote some kind of recent success from Paradise. And that's the only thing they can hang their hat on.
That makes sense.
Obviously, they didn't like storm the wedding and be like, we're going to pull this fast one on the producers and I'm going to propose to you on camera. The producers have all of this lined up. It's all produced so that they can do it in time. Neil Lane Sparkler, all of that. I thought it was easily the play of the game. I don't think that it took the spotlight off of the Gary wedding, really. You know,
it's not going to.
But it did. It was the biggest moment that Christina Mandrell has had in the franchise, one that I think she sorely deserves. And I was happy to see it. And I wish
and
nothing
she had that
but the
great
best
line.
For them both.
Oh, that's why we got our nails done. Loved that.
She's a massive reality star that just never got her shot in this franchise. And I hope that this or anything else in the near future helps her get to that point.
They are both compelling individuals. She's a star, and he just... having a man who's just so comfortable in his own skin, it's there's a confidence in that. It's like big dick energy, and whether it is or not, but it's just,
it is.
Yeah. Dangle Nation is definitely big dick energy.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm here for it.
I said tasteless just because I hate any time anyone uses a wedding or reception to propose. But yeah, I understand why it had to happen.
Wait, do you watch Vanderpump?
Oh, yes.
How did you feel about that controversy?
Hated it.
Cut to, if I ever have a wedding, I'm not now because men are terrible, but if I ever did have a wedding, Jake would get a man to propose.
I'd love to orchestrate. Even if it's a fake one. Just to show you up.
Yep, he would.
That's hilarious. 100%.
We're friends, though.
Just get even to do it.
Yeah. To me, like, the questions that I have about it are, whose idea was it? Did Mandrell call the producers? Did Brayden call the producers? Did the producers call them?
Because they've been...
What's that? What do you think?
I think producers probably called them.
I don't know. I think this might have come from Mandrell.
I think it came from Mandrell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Yeah, I do too.
So
I think she's a secret genius.
Yeah. So anything else y'all thought about this? We've kind of just hit the high points. Anything else y'all wanted to bring up that you would like loved or you want to talk about?
I don't know yet what the ratings for this are, the wedding episode specifically.
Yeah.
But if they were big, I think I just see I just see Warner Brothers and ABC pushing all the chips into Golden. And basically, this is going to be a slow transition into that being the most important piece of the Bachelor franchise. And if that's the case, I think you're going to see them try to convince every couple that comes out of a Golden season to get married within like 2 or 3 months. I think you're just going to see a conveyor belt of these Golden weddings over the next like 3 to 5 years, you know?
So according to soapoperanetwork.com, ABC ranked a solid number one among households with viewers 18 to 49 January 4th with the Golden Bachelor, the wedding. Let's see. It averaged 4.13 million viewers compared with 2.43 million for NBC, 2.28 for...
So do you have the actual rating on there?
Did
they mention the demographic rating?
America's most trusted
news source. Demographic rating was number one in viewers ages, adults ages 18 to 49 and adults 18 to 34 and adults 25 to 54.
But they don't give that number?
No, they don't have the breakdown.
I'm curious. It'll probably be out in the next day or two. I'm curious what the actual number was, because Golden Bachelor was like, in some cases, doubling their
Closest
competitor. Yeah, all of that. But yeah, that's a pretty good mark. How many people was it? 4 point something million, you said?
4.13 million.
The finale of Golden had 5 something, I think. And after they adjusted, it was like in the low 7 millions. So
when are they going to try Gay Bachelor?
I don't know if they will. You know, the reason
I think it will happen this decade. I do.
Do we have a bisexual bachelorette in Australia? This is like 2 years ago or something. Her name was Brooke Blurton, I believe, and she dated men and women. And I think she wound up with a guy as her ring winner. But I don't know the American Bachelor franchise. It's like there was a gay bachelor called Prince Charming or something.
We covered that too. We watched it. Prince Charming,
and he turned out to be an escort.
Tila Tequila shot at love.
No shit.
Yeah, I turned out to be an escort.
Yeah, I saw the guy. That,
fascinating.
I saw the guy that he picked on a massage site the other day. So they're doing well.
We got on the ground reporting here.
Yeah. No, I just don't know if
it's like an ad on my Facebook, and there he was. Yeah. And I went, that can't be real. And I clicked on the website, and there he was, had a profile and everything.
I mean, I think
I get gross ads on Facebook because of Jake.
Yeah, it's me, I'm sure.
I think it's, you know, it took them 25 seasons to have a black bachelor. Like, are they, you know?
Yeah, it's people like gay people more than black people in this country.
All right.
I feel like as far as like discrimination, I feel like because gay
people. But that's recent.
That is a
really recent phenomenon.
I mean, it depends on what happens in our political system, I think, this year. But I don't know. I feel like this decade there will be a gay bachelor. I don't know if it'll be a man, but
I think it'll be a woman first.
Yeah, I feel like they'll do a woman.
They've tested those waters too. Even in the American show, they had Demi Burnett in Bachelor in Paradise season 7, I believe it was, or 6 maybe. She was in a relationship with a woman outside of the show, came into Paradise, dated a guy for a minute, and then was like, I really want to, you know, keep this relationship
Christian
Haggerty was her name. And so the producers brought her in, Christian Haggerty, into that season of the show, and they proposed to one another on that show. So that was kind of a testing of the waters, I think, in Paradise. But yeah, to anchor an entire season, I don't know. I hope so. I hope that what they're learning from Golden is like they can fuck with the format a little bit, make people different from what the tried and true kind of formula of 20-somethings dating is. And maybe it's not just old people. Maybe now it is. You get somebody who's not straight in there or, you know, non-binary. Yeah,
people
want to
see other types of love stories.
They
you know?
Do. It's the fundamental problem as I see it, and speaking as a man who sleeps with men, is you get a bunch of men who sleep with men in one house, and not everyone's really thinking about The Bachelor anymore.
So that would be such a good show.
I agree.
That would not be ABC family friendly.
And I believe it's an occupational issue. It may
that happened with women too. Like we've seen Ultimatum Queer Love. It's a hot fucking mess.
And but so, it was great. Yeah. That was the best season of that show.
Season of that show. The heterosexual one is awful.
I agree. It's just boring as shit. I think that like that format, the ultimatum really lends itself well to have people that date in the gender.
It does.
And yeah, I honestly, like, I think Bachelor does too. I think that would just be like, it would be groundbreaking in many ways. And maybe you would have some kind of like backlash. But I think as like network TV gets closer and closer to the final death knell, you know, to the last breath, they're going to start experimenting.
You hold your tongue, Chad.
What do you mean? Are you, you love ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox? You're like, I only watch broadcast. I have my rabbit ears up. All these shows, the big shows from these things, will matriculate out to whatever the streaming services are that are owned by the studios that make them. Like Bachelor is Warner Brothers. It'll be on, I was going to say HBO Max, but it will be on Max at some point. Mm-hmm. When that happens, then you're really directly competing with Netflix. You don't care about what, you know, 60-year-old white America thinks anymore, because you don't give a fuck about the rating because it doesn't exist. You're looking at watch
and
times.
And they don't know how to download streaming.
Well, and the demographic is dying.
That, exactly. That too. That's a big part of it. The baby boomers are moving on to their golden years up in heaven.
Things change.
I mean, there's just so many more people who are openly bi and gay.
Right.
And
I just saw an article, I don't remember where, it was on Apple News, but like how polyamory is surging in the country right now, and the approval in couples.
And well the
Bachelor
thing
is a polyamory show.
That's true.
It is by
definition. For sure. Y'all, this has been so great.
This is wonderful. We are wishing Teresa and Gare Bear the best.
Like Sean Robinson says.
Oh, yeah. Teresa.
Teresa.
Don't like stop believing, Teresa.
Just don't stop believing, like my late wife, Tony. Never,
yeah, she never stopped believing, and so she stopped living.
Tony stopped believing.
We got to wrap this up for Poodle and Chad get gross. All right.
I know.
Thank you.
God, I like
thank
you
for
balls.
Doing this. This
would have
been.
Please. It's our pleasure.
Tell everybody where they can find you.
Game of Roses. Look it
Game
up.
Of
it's a
Roses,
podcast. It's
wherever
an Instagram
you
account.
That's like, look it the fuck up, you stupid bitch.
Internet.com.
Game of Roses pod. Chad is at Bachelor Clues. I'm at Pace Case.
All right. And if somebody is watching, wants to be, they can contact you for coaching. If they
Yeah, just
be.
DM me. DM me. I'm coaching now for multiple shows.
Can you coach Poodle to get on fucking Big Brother and do that?
Yes, I can.
We're gonna talk.
You know I coach Taylor Hale.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I keep telling Jake, and he won't do it because Jake doesn't understand. I know how to manage his career better than he does. But
we're
going to
talk.
We need to make this happen.
I'm down.
Tell you this, Chad. I would get in. I know how to fly under the radar, and I could be one of the greatest villains they've ever had.
This is what my primary goal right now is, to find people who are willing to be like ultra villains.
I'm stopping this conversation right now because I don't want anything legal to come back on this deep in secret. I'm stopping it now. I just need this to happen because I need Jake to go to two away for 2 months so I can have a break on this podcast.
Good luck. Good luck with that, man.
Chad and Lizzie, thank you so
thank
much.
Y'all.
For the rest
y'all.
Of y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Love, we so love, love. See you next, whatever the fuck it's going to be.
Bachelor.
Yeah.